Today's daf is daf chaf gimel. So we got to the bottom of chaf beis, and beis, four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara is figuring out yishu mishim chetzi, yishu mishim mamono, machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says mishim chetzio, Reish Lakish amar mishim mamono. So Gemara says, Amar Rava says, kra umasnisa mesayele, Rabbi Yochanan. There's both a pasuk and a braisa that supports the position of Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says mishim chetzio. Kra, the pasuk says, dechsiv, ki tete eish. What does it mean, tete eish? Tete me'atmo. The fire goes off on its own, creates on its own. Yishayim ha-mavir, it's a be'ira. And the mavir, the one who caused it to burn, the mavir is the person who lit the fire, he has to pay the damage. Shemamina yisho mishim chetzio. How is this a raya? So you look at Rashi in the bottom here, tete me'atmo, it's mashma. When it says ki tete eish, it goes out on its own. We're not talking about where the guy goes over to his friend's stack of hay and lights on fire. It was lit in his own, and it left on its own to the property next door. Still, despite the fact that it had moved over from one property to another, Kari Mavir Esaber, he's still credited with being Mavir, literally burning it, even though he didn't actually burn it. Kilu hirliko matzmo. Alma isha mishim chetzios. We see from here that Eish is considered an extension, a force, the arrow of the initial mavir. Gemara says that supports Rabbi Yochanan again, mishim chetzio. Then the Gemara brings a raya masnisa. There's a brisa that also supports this. The Tani, the pasuk, the brisa says, pasach hakasuv. The pasuk begins by saying, v'nizke mamon, v'saim v'nizke gufo. What does that mean? The Rashi says, nizke mamona, it's a focus on the mamon, the object that caused the mazik, not the person, but the chevtza hamazik. But then it ends off as nizke gufo, says the Brayis. The Rashi explains the karle hamavir, the individual. So we see from here that the mamono is an extension of the gufo, says the Gemara, lo melcha isho mishim chetzio. So both the pasuk and the Brayis' understanding of the pasuk sounds like almost the same thing, supports the understanding of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. That's seemingly how we conclude. So the Gemara now says in the top of Chav Gimel, two lines down, Amar Rava, Rava says, Kash Shalei Le'abaye, Leman Damar Isha Mishim Chetzio, Tamun Ve'esh, Depater Achman Heicha Mishkachaslo. The one who holds that Esh Mishim Chetzio, and we know we learned already a couple weeks ago, that when Esh burns something, if there's something that's Tamun, let's say there's a stack of hay, and there's something very valuable, or anything even not valuable, anything that's Tamun, that's hidden in the stack of hay and gets burnt, the mavir, the person who caused the eish, is actually pater from tamun. Person is pater from tamun, that which is hidden. So if it's really true, says the Gemara, says Rava, that eisho mishim chetzio, how could it be that tamun is pater? That tamun ba'eish is considered pater? Doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, v'nicha, this makes sense because everything is viewed as it's an extension of me. Why would tamun be an under? Why would that be pater when it's a arrow that I shot and I killed somebody, I destroyed something? So Gemara says, furthermore, let's say there's a fire, a certain property gets caught on fire. And then the wall just falls down, nothing to do with the fire, just collapses. And the fire continues to move and catches yet another field. So that I understand, the hasam kalalei chetzio. There, the arrow has lost its strength. So let's say it goes, the fire goes and knocks that entire property. And it stops moving because there's a wall. Suddenly the wall falls over, nothing to do with the fire, just happens to collapse at that time, and then it starts moving over. Well, that force of the fire already stopped. It came to a stopping point. And only because something else opened the door up, not because of my initial fire, because the wall fell down, did it continue? So my chetzio stopped, so I would be putter on the neighboring chatzer. What are we learning from all this? So the Gemara says, let's look at the Gemara now. Let's just take it from Rashi. Heicha mishkachas la. Rashi says, "Ilu adam zark chetz." A person shot an arrow. V'hizik b'tamun lo mechayev b'nezek. It probably there should be some gears to change there. Imagine. Mi lo mechayev b'nezek. A guy shoots an arrow and causes damage. Something's hidden. Of course, he's chayev to pay if it's tamun, if it's an arrow. Hakaymal on behayev bepirkin patza tachas peta lechayev es hashoge kamezivon. It's gross and fine. So Nichalei says, the Rashi, Mishani Lei, this is already the answer. If the fire goes through and plows through a wall and goes to the next field, that's all my initial force. That's I'm chayv on both properties. We're talking about where it came to a stop and then the wall fell over. So says the Rashi, Chetzio, shebisha shehila ka'esh ayinu zrikas chetz. When I shot the arrow, I lit the fire. Lo haya roi lahazik b'chatzer cheres. Did not have the strength to go to the neighboring property. So only when it falls over, that is why I'm pater on the neighboring field. So why are we saying, how does it answer the question of tamun though? We're saying tamun is that the fact that it's covered by the fence. So I guess the idea is, if something's tamun, to a point where it's protected from the fire, it's fireproof. And then it becomes exposed by something other than the fire, that's a case I would be pater in tamun. But if it's something that plows right through the stack of hay and right to that which is hidden below it, nothing was to protect it, then in echanami I would be chayv, it seems. So then the Gemara says, "Ihachi." If that's the case, then gilui nami kalale chetzio. So forget things that are hidden, even things that are exposed, that are behind the wall. I would also be patern lav dafka tamen, meaning it shouldn't be considered tamen. This should be considered anything that is protected from a wall. I should be patern if the wall ends up falling down. Lav dafka tamen. That really doesn't explain the situation. So Gemara says, Ella must be Leman de Islay Mishum Chetzio Islay Nami Mishum Amono. If Yochanan, who holds a fire, is considered an extension, is considered the force of the arrow, he also agrees there's also a certain responsibility a person has for protecting and watching over his mamon. What does that mean? Ukigon Shahaya Lola Godro Vlo Gadra. Dehasam Sharahu Vlo Tafach Bape. What's going on here? So it says Rashi, see Rashi Islay Nami Mishum Amono? Let's say there's a situation where you don't have the right to enforce a punishment or a payment because of chetzio. You could still be mechayev him mishum amono. Hilkach says Rashi linen giloi afagav de kalulo chetzio chay mishum amono. So the guys, my fire's going, the wall stops, my chetzio stops. Wall falls over, then the fire continues to pick up again. So I'm no longer my chetz, not my chetz anymore because the force stopped. But I am chayev because it's my mamono here. I am protected. I have to protect my ish, so I am chayev from the neighboring property because of it's my mamono. So then Rashi says, "Kigon shayalo legodro, b'terem tavor herleka sham hayalo shalos v'yachol legodro." Let's say there's enough time. The wall falls down. I have enough time to quickly pick it back up and to protect it. And I don't do that. So that's the case. What are we saying here? Says Rashi, "Velo gadro, da'afa gav deleke lechiyuve. I have a rishon mischayv al shem sofa shelo yishimor gachlas legdor b'fenel." So again, my fire, my force had ended. The wall falls down. I should have, as an obligation to watch over my fire, I should have rebuilt that wall or put it back up somehow. And I didn't do that. I'm chayv on that pshia, on the lack of shmir, on the continuing protection I need to provide around my fire. Right, everyone's with me on this point? Yeah, a little bit? Okay. So the Gemara then says, where we go now?
So when the Gemara answered that the Panamot Chetz also holds Mishum Mamono, was Rashi saying that that's only dafka for what's galui on the other side of the geder, or even for what's tamun?
It seems that you're chayv and everything on the other side of the wall. Lav dafka tamun. Tamun, you're only pater from. That has answered the question. That's the, I guess, what you're trying to get at.
So Rashi says hilkach when galui afka of the kalu chetziv chayv mishum amono. Sounds like chayv mishum amono is only going on what's galui, but it's not going on tamun.
So then again, the question becomes, so then why you, when is the case that you're chayv, when you're pater in tamun? If it's mishum chetzo, we said chetzo is chayv in everything, even galoy or tamun. If it's mishum mamono, so now we're saying that you're chayv in both those cases then also. So when you pater in tamun then?
Isn't it Daf on the other side of the
Chayv? No. If he said Baruch Hashem, then he continues. Then he did the Kohen doesn't
go up.
If he didn't say, but
that's so we're saying, even though Rashi doesn't say this, the idea is that if it's Mishum Mamono, right? The idea is that the wall falls down, I need to build another wall, and I don't build another wall. So again, the Gemara says, "Dehasim shorahu v'lo tafach ba'pe." that's considered, the Eish now is considered my mamon, no different than a shore. And just like I didn't block the shore, I also didn't block the Eish. I'm chai mishum mamono, but I'm pater on tamon because of ones. The idea is, this is the idea behind it. Tamon, something that's hidden, is ones. I didn't know there's something valuable in there. I burned the guy's stack of hay, and I was willing to pay for the few dollars it cost. That I know he's hiding all his gold and silver, then no, I'm honest. So different end of becoming, let's say it this way. When I say Eishu Mishim Chetzio, it's an arrow of mine, it's considered a koach of Adam. The law is that Adam Muad Li Olam, a person is always considered Muad, Bain Bemezid, Bain Bishogig, Bain Ba'onis. If I hurt someone, even Ba'onis, I'm responsible. So that's why if it's Eishu Mishim Chetzio, I'm Chayv even Ba'onis, even though it's Tamun, I have no idea what it was there, I'm completely honest to know that there's gold hidden there. I'm Chayv because Eishu Mishim Chetzio is an extension of Adam. But if you assume that's Mamono, that no, it's considered like a shore. So if a shore goes ahead and destroys some stack of hay, I'm not responsible for that tamun because that's honest. I had no idea that anything was hidden. There's no way for me to know. I'm pater on the tamun. So if Ishu Mishu Mamono, I actually would be pater on that, which is tamun on the other side of the wall. Exactly. Right.
So the case on the other side of the wall... it would only be considered mamono at that point. It's not considered mishum chetzos.
The second it stops, right, and then the wall falls over for some other reason, not the fire, and I don't, if I had time to rebuild it and I don't rebuild it, then it's mishum mamono. But if it falls and I have no time to rebuild it, then it seems like I'd be pater from chetzo and even mamono.
And once we're in the world of mamono, you're pater from tamon.
Because it's onus. Exactly. Okay. Gemara now says, v'chim acher... from after the fact, the man dislay mishum chetzo islay nami mishum mamono. So if that's really true, that Rabbi Yochanan, who holds of chetzo, also holds of mamono, my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two? Ik benayo lechaybo b'arba b'dvarim. So again, the lomdus that we're suggesting here, which again I think what the Rishonim explained, that isho mishum chetzo means adam. It's basically adam hamazik. So we know adam hamazik, a person who hits someone, he has to pay dal advarim, he has to pay nezek and sar and boshes and ripoy and sheves. So here too also, the Eish has to, if it damages a person, he has to pay those additional payments as well. Right, Rashi just explained, we'll say this outside, and say inside rather, Rashi six wide lines down. Rashi says, L'chayvo b'dval dvarm, l'man dam mishim chetzio, nami mechayavin lei, im sarf isho yad adlam, a person burned an individual's hand. Chay bar b'dvarm, nezek v'tzar, ripoy v'sheves. About Boshes Lo, you're actually not chayv in the fifth one, because Rashi goes on to explain that Boshes requires a kavana. You have to do b'kavana. When you light a person's hand on fire, that's not b'kavana in that way. Okay. That ends our discussion of Eish. A lot of lumdus to talk about here. Let's go weiter now. Says the Gemara now, Tudat ala harar, mishalim v'chule. So if the dog takes the biscuit, puts it on a gadish, so he eats the harar, he eats the biscuit, he's the pays the nezek shalim and pays chati nezek on the gedish like we discussed yesterday. So Gemara wants to know, man chayiv, who's chayiv? Baal kelev, the owner of the dog, is chayiv on the gedish. I should have watched my dog and shouldn't have let him take that hot biscuit. The Gemara asks, v'lechayiv nami baal gecheles. Maybe the owner of the coals who made the biscuit all hot, maybe he should be the one who's chayiv. Gemara says, b'shishimer gechelesam. I was watching my coals, so I'm not chayiv. The owner of the dog, who let the dog come into my property and take the coals out and the biscuit and made the court on fire, he's chayv, not me. So Gemara says, "Ikish shamar gachalaso, my bay kelev." So if I was really watching my coals properly, so how in the world did the dog get to my gacheles, my charara? It must be that I wasn't watching my gacheles properly. Gemara says, "No, hasam b'shechasar, where the dog dug its way underneath my property, underneath my fence." I'm not expected to really block the Arabs coming in underneath the tunnels and the Gaza tunnels. I can't protect them from digging below. So therefore, I'm pater. I did my responsibilities of building a fence around it. So Gemara says, "Amar Meri Brei de Rav Kana Zos Ameris comes to teach me Stam Delosos Hachaturos Hein Eto Kelev, that even a Stam door, a door and a fence that's completely blocked, it's still exposed to the digging of dogs below it." Fine. So that's why the Baal Gecheles is pater, but Baal Kelev is chayv. Now the Gemara wants to know, De'achla Heicha, where exactly was the dog when he ate this harara, this biscuit? Now we know that Shein is only chayv b'rishus hanizak, not b'rishus hamazik, nor in b'rishus harabim. So we know the answer already, what it's going to be. So again, De'achla Heicha, If he ate in some third party's property where the Gedish was, has to be in the other person's property, namely the Rishus Hanizak, and that's not the case. So Gemara says, Lo tricha da achla begedish de bal charara. He ate it in the property of the owner of the charara, the owner of the biscuit. The biscuit owner is the Nizak. He lost his biscuit. So he's also the owner of the achla begedish de bal charara. Again, it took place in Rishus Hanizak. In his place, he owned the charara and he also owned the gedish. So Gemara says, okay, that's the case. Now we can answer the following question. The last line says, Tifsho, let's answer. The pipara, the mouth of a cow, is kechotzer hanizak dami. Meaning, if there's a cow who caused damage in my property, things that are in his mouth, is that viewed as the rishus hamazik? And he should be putter, everything, that's his mouth. That's, even though the cow is situated in my property, his mouth is not my property. So anything that goes in his mouth, is that viewed as the rishus hamazik? Or no, since he's in my property, I don't care what's in his mouth, it's still my rishus. It's rishus anizak. That's the question. So let's answer the question. It must be, if it's really viewed as the cow walks around anything in his mouth, no matter where he is, it's considered the rishus hamazik. We should say to him, the Baal Kelv should say, what is your biscuit doing in my dog's mouth? I'm not responsible to pay for that. It's my dog has the right to put anything in his mouth because his mouth becomes his rishus. So why did you place the biscuit in his mouth? I'm not paying for your biscuit that he ate.
Even though it started in rishus hanizak, because we had questions before about if it starts in one place and then it's brought to the other place, or if it's pulled in both places, do we work?
I'm trying.
Well, which it started in the rishus hanizak that no one disagrees with, and then it be called it's rishus hamazik. That's not going to be right.
Let's see.
So he's blaming the guy, saying that you're the one that gave him the.
No. You're just saying that. In the end of the day, it's in his mouth. It's not rishus hanizak anymore. Once it goes into his mouth, you're right. It's owned by the Baal Charara. But currently, the biscuit in his mouth, while he's being chewed and eaten, it's his rishus. That's not. It's a p'tur of rishus hamazik now.
But for him to get it, he had to go there to get it.
Right. Yeah, as Adam suggests, I don't remember how we connected to the previous Gemaras, that if it starts in one place.
So if you walk in, you take something from somebody who's under another place.
Right.
So once you take it out, now it's mine. Because right. It's my rishus.
Which case there would never be a chiv shame. There's never shame then. There's never any time an animal eats something, then Mimela goes from that rishus to his rishus.
Yeah.
But we reject it anyway.
Yeah.
Gemara says right.
It seems like Tosis is dealing with it.
An Amun Aleph.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's a long Tosis. Okay.
It's a long Tosis. It's not
a good answer. Fine. So Gemara says Dibailhu, it was asked to them in Pi Para Kechatzer Nizak Dami or Kechatzer Mazak Dami. The Amris Bechatzer Mazak Dami, if you view, that's Gemara's going to ask that question. If you really view the mouth of an animal as his own Rishus, as Rishus HaMazik, and he therefore be Potter, so then Shein Dechai Rachmona Hechem Eshkachasa. You'll never find the Chi of Shein, because every time it puts something into its mouth, it becomes his own Rishus, and this is a Ptur of Rishus HaMazik. Gemara says no. Amar Rav Mary Breder of Kana Kigon Shinis Chacha Bekosa Lanasa V'Tin Paperis Lanasa. You're right, you'll never have a case of eating, of Shein, because it always goes into his own Rishus and he's Potter. But let's say he gums up, Shein is whenever there's Hanah for the animal, he does something for his own enjoyment, then he's considered Shein. So let's say the guy is scratching scratching his body against the wall for Hanah, and he knocks over the wall or dirties the wall, that's a Chi of Shein. Or he relieves himself on fruit, so that's a Hanah for him. And he damages the fruit, that's also an issue of shame. So you can still find shame in the Torah, it just won't be eating, but it'll be some other form of hanav that causes damage. So ask Gemara now, Maskev Lamar Zutra, Vaha Baina Kashi Yivar Hagala Atomo, Velekam. We saw early in the Masechta, and was it Daf Beis Amud Beis and Gimel Naaf, I think, or so, that shame is defined by revealing, exposing the teeth. Something that which is sometimes exposed and sometimes hidden, that only applies to shame. That's the prototype of what shame is. That doesn't apply to rubbing against the wall or going to the bathroom. So Ravina Amar, Dishaf Salmi. What means Shaf Salmi? Rashi says, around seven lines down, in Rashi, narrow lines, Dishaf Salmi, Kishin Ischachka, Bekosa, Machka, Tzura, Shalav, Deika, Tumo. where there's a certain image, a painting on the wall, some graffiti on the wall, and he rubs against it and erases it, so that's where there's some type of tumo, where I'm not sure why is that... what's the
tumo means like complete destruction.
So we're saying tumo doesn't mean exposed versus not exposed. It means tam, completely... that's interesting, because that's not what we said before. Okay, I misunderstood the question then. So that Rashi says above. Okay, so I misunderstood the question. Rashi says above, habayinan atumo dimachla karna, as Adam said, to completely wipe it out. So when a guy knocks against a wall or goes to the bathroom, you don't completely destroy the fruit. You don't completely destroy the wall. You make it a little bit loose. You crack it a little bit. So the Gemara says, fine, that's the first suggestion, where you completely erase that painting on the wall. Then Rav Ashi Amar de Pasi Psue, says Rashi, Kishiniskal Gal Peros, Tach Basan Betit V'Yevshar Lelokten. In Mamish, you had the animal went to the bathroom so badly, you know, and then, you know, you ever see those in the zoos? Like, I think by rhinoceroses stay like 100 feet back from behind them. So it was a very, went to the bathroom pretty badly. So it buried the fruit in the ground where they couldn't retrieve it anymore. Okay, so it was got to the point where his mamish destroyed. Fine. Gemara says now, Toshma, Shisa Basa Kelev, Shisa Basa Nachash. Let's say you take a dog and the dog bites something, or the snake bites something and damages it, kills it. Pater. So you're pater. Man pater. Who's pater here? Mashe pater. V'chai bal kelev. The one who caused the animal to take the bite, that person is pater. But the owner of the dog, the owner of the snake, is actually going to be chayiv.
What did the guy do? What did she say?
You caused him to take a bite. You took the snake and you made him like stick its fangs in. So Gemara says, wait a second. The amris ki chatzir mazik dami. We say that the mouth of the dog, the mouth of the nachash, is like the chatzir mazik and would be pater. Le malay my bayad chava puma de kalba. You should say, the owner of the dog should say, what's your hand doing in my dog's mouth? Get out of there. I'm not paying for anything. So how could the Brisa say that you're chayiv, the Baal Kelev is chayiv here? So Mara says, Ema pater af mashe. No, what we should say is, even the mashe, even the person who instigated the dog to bite, even he's pater in addition to the owner of the dog as well. So again, two ways to read the Brisa. Again, the question being, when the animal takes, we're basically questioning is shame. And when the animal bites or eats something, is the Baal HaBehema going to be chayiv or not? Is his mouth viewed as a Rishus HaMazik and the owner would be Pater? Or is it considered not Rishus HaMazik, Rishus HaNizak, and he'd be Chayv? So that's the way the Gemara is trying to figure out how to properly read this Braisa. Ibai Zema, alternatively, you know why he's Chayv? To Afke Linive Visarte. He exposed the teeth and chewed it, meaning it never entered into the mouth. So it was never into the Rishus HaMazik. That's a case where the Baal Kelev would be Chayv, where it's from the outside of the animal, not inside the animal's mouth. Okay, Tashma. Gemara says, "Hishich bo es hanachash." You cause the nachash to take a bite. Rehudas mechayiv the chachamim potrin. Vama Rav Acha bar Yaakov kishitim tolamar l'divrei Rabbi Yehuda. When you understand Rabbi Yehuda's position, who thinks that you're chayiv for being mashich, for causing the snake to take a bite, it means that eris nachash bein shinav hu omed. The venom is there; it's waiting, and lefikach machash b'sayif. Therefore, when you take the snake and cause it to bite somebody else, you're basically taking a sword because the hezek is there, it's present. So it's like taking a sword, same idea. And when you understand pater ledivir chachamim, eres nachash mihasma maki. No, the venom is not there. It's the snake when it wants it releases it. So it's the snake that releases this. Lefikach, therefore, lefikach nachash biskila umachish pater. You stone the nachash for damaging because he's the one who killed, but the person who caused it to the animal, the person who caused the nachash to bite, I'm pater. I didn't do anything. I just held the snake. But the nachash on his own spit out the venom. So therefore, that's how they understand the machlokas is, how do we view the venom? Is the venom, again, present? It's right there, it's exposed. Not exposed, but it's very, very much present. Or no, the snake on its own shoots out the venom. And I'm sure, I think different snakes work differently, actually. Some snakes, I think it's right there. Others shoot it out. I don't know much. Harry probably knows a lot more about venom than I do.
But she's a killer.
Which one?
Yeah, before she's was a killer.
So what's the venom by that? I don't know, the rabies? I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. That might only be relevant by, maybe the Eris is only talking about the Nachash, it's not talking about the, that's about Stam biting, above by the Caliph. The Eris is only talking about Nachash. Granted. But that's not the question of Eris is not relevant to a Kelev. It's a different point. The person who caused it to bite, I'll never be chayev for causing a dog to bite, because the dog takes that bite, not me. But as opposed to the snake, if the venom is right there, I'm holding the snake with the venom, that's like me holding a sword, because the snake is right there, according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is only mechayev the mashseh by Nachash, but not by Kelev. Yeah, but still, it's not direct though. There's a dog that does it. I might instigate it, but I'm not. I don't take. It's not like me. The nezek is not there as much as the eris is there and relevant. Fine. Gemara now says, "V'yamris pipara kechatzer mazik dami." If we're saying that the mouth of a cow or any other animal is viewed as the rishus mazik and would be putter, so lemalei my bayotcha bepuma dechivai. What is your mouth doing in the hand of my snake? It's a shepater. So Gemara says, Lenin and Ketala, Lamin. With respect to someone who dies, we don't say such a svara. It's only a heter. The whole heter of Rishus HaMazik is by Shane when there's Nezek being caused. There's a patur of Rishus HaMazik. When it comes to me causing having a snake kill someone, there's no heter of Rishus Rabin. No matter where I cause an animal to kill someone, I'll be chayvan.
And the person's chayv misa.
The person would be Chai Misa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's like taking a scythe, like taking a sword, exactly. Okay. Gemara now says, where we go now, Minat Temra, how do you know this to be the case, to distinguish between Nezek and Ketala? Gemara says, Desani, the Baraita tells us, Hanichas Lachotzer Bal Habayis, Shel Beshus. A guy goes into my house without asking permission. The Nagchal Shor Shabalabais, and my Shor kills this guy. Mace, he kills the guy. Hashor Beskila Bailim Paturim, Merkofer. So my Shor, since it killed someone, there's a din that has to go to Skila, special din. But me as the owner, I'm completely Patur, Merkofer. Because he entered my Rishus, he didn't ask permission to come in here. So Bailim and Paturim, Merkofer, my time. And why am I Patur from paying Kofer for this Shor of mine that killed this individual? My boys, what's he doing with my property? It's all right to be my property. Shorinami lemalei, my boys b'shusi. So the shore should also say, what's this guy doing in my property also? The shore has his own, you know, he has his area, right? He's, you know, his territory. And therefore, anybody enters into his territory, he's going to kill. So you're right. Taka, normally we would say that. When it comes to death, if a shore kills someone, then we won't say, b'shusi, my boy. This doesn't apply to killing of the animal. So maybe forget the point before about Rabbi Yehuda and the person who's, at least the animal himself. Animal itself, be the nachash or the shor, normally would say, if it causes damage in the mouth, we'd say, that's rishus hamazik. You can't be mechayev, the owner of the animal. But if the animal kills, we don't stop anything. The animal has to die, whether it be a nachash, whether it be a shor, even if it enters into his territory, we still kill the animal.
That's the chiddush. I guess it's pasha that person kills anywhere, a person's chayev misa.
Right.
That's not
exactly. So I guess it's
a source for that. But the fact that you're still going to kill the nachash when it's in his own rishos.
Right. Okay. Gemara now says, Hanu Izi, there's certain goats to bay tarbu, Tavu Mafsidula the Rav Yosef. They're being raised. The Shem Mishpacha says Rashi Beitarbu. And they're causing damage to Rav Yosef. So Amalei Labai, so Rav Yosef says to Bai, Zil Amar Emelahu, Limarayu. Sorry, one second. Litsinu, why are they talking to Abaye here? But Rav Yosef tells Abaye? He's asking Abaye to say something to the owners?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Okay, fine. So Rav Yosef asks Abaye, because Abaye was a Talmud. I don't know if he was or not, but let's assume he was. He says to Abaye, please go tell them, the Marayo, to the owners of these goats, to Litsinu, to hide them, to protect them, because they're causing me a hefsid. Amrlei, Amai Ezel, Diazlinu, Amrlei Ligdor. So he says to, back to Abaye, Amai, maybe Abaye says to Rav Yosef, probably. Amai, Ezel, Diazilno, Amrlei Ligdor. If I go, they'll say to me, build a fence, protect your field. Margdiri Bara, build a fence. Vigadar, and if you build a fence, Shane the Chai Rahman Hecha Mishkachasla. So if that's the case, if you always have to protect your own property, So then you'll never have a case of shame. An animal can never get your food to ever have a case of shame. The fact that the Torah speaks about shame of animals eating fruit must be that I don't have to watch over my fruit. You have to watch over your animals. So the Gemara says, no, like we saw above, that if they dig through below the fence, so then you have to pay for shame for going to my property. Inami, the nafal guda belaila, or where the wall fell at nighttime, I wasn't around to rebuild it, so now it becomes exposed. I did the proper shmira, I watched over my fruits, but it fell overnight, which happens sometimes, then the owner of the gedim, of the ezim, would be chayv to pay shame. So machers of Yosef, Rav Yosef made an announcement, v'seim, others say it was Rabbah, desalkan le'ila, the nachas on the tachta. What does this mean? Says Rashi, the Salkan Leila mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael. You go up, you make Aliyah to from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, or Dinachsin Latachta, Eretz Yisrael LeBavel, Habibekin Badinze, and or going down from Eretz Yisrael down to Bavel, they are the Bekin. Who's he referring to here? Referring to, I guess, Abai here. Abai went back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel.
Abai is out of the picture here.
Uh huh. So who's he referring to here?
He's making an announcement.
Saying, I guess everybody should be
bucky
in this.
Everyone should be bucky. Those who travel back and forth, anyone, it's a way of saying the entire world.
Everybody should learn this.
Everybody
should learn this.
Everyone should learn this halacha. Honey, easy, the shuka, the mafsidu, masin, b'merayo, trev, it's lasa zimnim. A person whose goats are causing damage, and you should warn them, the owners, two or three times. Eat size, if they listen to you, fantastic. If you love, they don't. Amrile, we say to them, Tiv amsachta v'kibol zuzecha, says Rashi. Tiv amsachta, makam maimin haksavim, an area where they keep the, what, all the different butchers. And v'kabal, what? Yeah, v'kabal zuzech, afilu biyoma delav shuka shachit lehu ahol l'shchita kaimin. Since they're causing damage, let the butchers just shach them and take the money, even though it's a time of the year where it's not very expensive, the meat is very cheap for this time of year, there's not very much, there's not a high demand for it. Still, you're allowed to shach them all in order to prevent all the damage and pay the money to the owners of the, yeah. What? You can shech, like a proper shechting. You shech them.
These were ezin in the shuk that were ready to be shechted and they were causing damage in Rosh Hashanah.
Dafka, those that were ready to be shechted, says Rashi. Easy the shuki, the katsri, the kaim, the shechita. Now these were ready, had been set aside to cause shechita, to be used for shechting and for eating. And they were keeping them around for a long time and they were causing damage. And then you could shech them before the best price. Okay. All right, so we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.
It sounds like if there are certain types of animals that are kind of...